All right, Ari. For those that don't know what you do, how do you describe what you do? Let's start there.
Oh man, you got me with that one. So I really try to help people connect with themselves. The bottom line is I think that all our problems in life are symptoms of the root cause of a disconnect with our true self. And I think that I really believe in every person's inherent capacity to find answers from within. And what I try to do is use my skill set and the tools that I've learned and created to help people do that, those inner excavations and explorations of their thoughts, their emotions, and in their actual physical body as well. Because the answers are more often than not all there.
Wow, interesting. And I didn't hear you at once say coach or say therapist or say, right? There's all these terms out there that exist for kind of, the overlap of some of what you're describing you do, but also it seems like your approach is a little bit different. What is there a term that you would use to describe what you do, the like type of work that you do?
Yeah, insanely good question. And I've been doing a lot of thought on this lately, and I actually have a post I wrote that's going up in the next week or two that really kind of slams this distinction that's out there between coaching and therapy. And I think that it's from a legal perspective, it's very useful because in a legal world, you want to be very clear of like who's the therapist and who's not, who has that responsibility and who's not. But the distinction that's given is, well, therapists will look into the past, they'll look into what's the root cause of what's really stopping you, and the fears and the doubts and the depression and the anxiety and all that stuff. And a coach will not go there. A coach is really about what's your future goal and how can we bring that future version of who you want to be closer and closer to the present. But the issue is with that definition is I think you're really handicapping the therapist and the coach by boxing them in, because what you're essentially doing is, from the perspective of the coach, in order to get somewhere, if I'm going to get to a goal, I'm going to have to get past the fears and the things that are stopping me. So I'm going to have to deal with what's coming up for me when that happens. And from the perspective of the therapist, it's very hard to have a successful therapy with someone if there aren't some clear goals of what this person wants to accomplish with their life. Like, we can go endlessly into our past and find traumas and things to fix, but if there's no purpose for fixing it because there's nothing that we're going to do with that, then like it there's almost, and that's a lot of the frustration that I've had and a lot of people I've worked with or heard to have with therapy is that it's like it doesn't go anywhere. Like, where is this even going? Now, many people don't have that experience. And so it's not like it so So for me, I mean, technically, from like a business standpoint, yes, I'm a coach, but the way I think of myself is really trying to use a modality and approach that's going to be most helpful for the person. That's most that For me, it took a long time for me to figure out what I needed to do, what I needed, the skills that I needed to have in order to gain that connection with myself. And I'm just, from my perspective, trying to, reverse engineer the process and say, okay, what were the tools that if I had had them 15 years ago, I wouldn't have gone through the same amount of pain and suffering that I had to go through because it took me so long to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. Let's talk about maybe some of that journey, right? From where you were to where you are. What was there a moment where you knew you wanted to become, you wanted to help other people and do this type of work? Or a moment or an experience? Yeah, anything.
There are a couple of moments that I think are interesting. First is that even from a very young age, even from like an adolescent age, I had thoughts of like wanting to guide and mentor and help people. That just was something that was like always in my mind as something that I wanted to do. And then there was something which happened when I, about 13 years ago, I was able to see in action somatic work. Somatic work is the work of basically to describe this to someone who hasn't yet experienced it or seen it before, soma really is the body. And somatic work is work where we are trying to shift the person, help the person heal, not by going through their thoughts or feelings, but by working directly with the body. So around 13 years ago, I saw this kind of work in action. It's a kind of work, it's a derivative of the Feldenkrais method, but I saw a woman practicing this on small children. And when I saw it, I immediately felt like I could see and understand what was going on. And I took a couple of videos of me just kind of imitating what I saw and just kind of riffing off of it, doing different things. And I sent those videos to the teacher that, the person, the practitioner that I had watched. And her response to me was, "Can I show this to my colleagues? Like, this is really good. Like, how did you do that?" And so that was like, that kind of set off like this thing in my head, which was like, okay, like I have something here. There's something here, but it just kind of stayed in the back. And then I would say about a year or somewhere around 2019, I had a very, very intense dream, where, someone who is of utmost importance to me, in my life, in the dream was basically demonstrating this work for me. And I had that dream twice. And that was already somewhat of, I would say, kind of a spiritual experience of feeling like there was a calling here. But then what really did it was actually doing the work. So when I found a somatic therapist that I actually started working with and I started healing from the work myself, then I was like, this is what I want to do. Because I was able to remember our sessions clearly enough to, I was able to remember the sessions well enough to practice the techniques on my own, even though I wasn't being taught them formally. So he was just doing his thing on me, but then I was able to recreate that experience on my own. And then I started doing that for other people and showing them what I learned. And then it was like, I clearly felt like I had found something that I was skilled at that was giving people benefit. And I was like, hey, this is what I want to do.
And this was, you said, in 2019 or thereabouts.
The dream was in 2019, but the actual experience of doing the work and starting with people was around 20, it was about 3 years ago, 2021.
Got it. You said something about you working with a somatic therapist, but I also have heard you say you don't have one sort of a one size fits all approach. You blend different elements of different things together, right? So talk to me about, there's elements of your work that's somatic. There's elements of your work that's sounds like with the mind, with the body, with the feelings, right? You're like weaving all of these together. Let's talk a little bit about just your work, your philosophy of the to the type of work that you do with helping others.
Yes. So, in general, my philosophy is that modalities are great, but they're downright dangerous if you get stuck to one of them.
What's a modality?
Any method, any method of somatic work, any method of emotional work, any method of, cognitive work. If you are your method, you run into a danger of you getting trapped and also you really limiting the people that you're trying to help. That's kind of a core element of my philosophy because that's what I really experienced, which was doing this method was great, but then it only took me too far. It only took me so far. And then I realized I needed to discover something else. And then I did. And then I discovered something else. And then I blended everything that I learned together in a way where I began to see that there's a bigger picture here. And these are all parts within a greater system. And so then there was like a much deeper realization, which is that, essentially what we're doing with these tools is, like I said in the beginning, to try to connect with ourselves. And if we really just try to take an objective look at what we are and what makes up the totality of our experience, and we try to cover all those areas, then we have the greatest chance of really getting a better picture of who we are and what we're about. So what's beautiful about somatic work is that it's has such a loving approach to the body, and the body is so important because the body is really, in many ways, the most powerful part of the mind. It's where the intuition from, the gut feels come from, the unconscious processing, all that stuff is in the body, but it is just a part of us. It's only the body. There are emotions, which are their own thing, and there are thoughts, which are their own thing. And so, if we're not really looking into emotions and thoughts, and we're just trying to work with the body, then we're missing a major component of who we are. So that so really a very core part of the philosophy is we have to look at thoughts, we have to look at emotions, and we have to look at body sensations, and we have to look at the interactions between these three things because this is really how we process information. Our brain and our nervous system is an information machine, and it's processing in those three ways all the time simultaneously. And so the more we learn how to delve into that process and improve the communication between different areas of how we function, then the better understanding we're going to have of who we really are.
Can you share a specific example either of your own experience with these three modalities or from one of your from one of your clients, assuming it's you're able to keep it vague enough. But just yeah, a little bit, it's a little bit meta, right? Like it's you have thoughts, you have feelings, you have sensations, you have the mind, the body, the right, like you have all these different things that need that sounds like they need to work together, right? And they're and communicate with each other. But yeah, if you could share an example of like how what what's an experience or what is a way, what's a technique that these can start to be unblocked or be that they can work together.
So say for example, a person is struggling with being more organized and focused and productive at work. So there's, first of all, a thought process that has to take place, an awareness of identifying. I'm really a bit all over the place. And if I was more intentional with my time, if I was more intentional with building a schedule that was focused around my priorities of living in a way where I thought, hey, what do I really want to accomplish with my day, my week, my month? And then blocking time off and organizing myself so that those things get done, I probably would get a lot further in life. There's a thought process and an awareness that has to happen there. Without that awareness, it's you're kind of blind. So if a person just feels like I'm not productive, I don't feel like I'm productive. I don't feel like I'm getting enough. And there's emotions associated with that, and there's how their body feels around that. But without the awareness of the reason why I'm not being productive is because like there's just no control over my time. There's no priorities. I'm not intentional with how I'm using my time. That awareness does a lot. Okay, so that's just some work in the area of thought. And sometimes for some people that'll be enough. What's very interesting is that you never know for a given person and in a given situation and challenge what do they need in order to get over the hump. Where is the block? For many people, as soon as they're able to have some awareness of what's going on, they move past it and they're fine. But for other people, it's not like that. They could have full-on awareness of what's blocking them and what they need to do, but nothing's happening. And that's because there's another element happening here. So then you go, so then you start exploring emotionally what's going on over here. And then you discover there's a certain kind of the certain kind of an attraction, a certain kind of way that a person is used to being, and that maybe they'll characterize as more lazy or I'm a procrastinator. I just remember, in my family, we were just a bunch of couch potatoes and we just loved to kind of sit around and laze around, and that feels very comfortable and safe to me. And so there is an emotion here. There's a part of them that feels that, wow, if I'm gonna like live every day with intention based on a goal, then what happens to my experience of just chilling out with life and just being in the moment and just being okay with who I am? Because essentially when I'm saying I want to accomplish this, I want to do this, and I'm going to structure my entire day around it, I'm kind of like really putting myself into a total different way of being where I'm just not like anything like who my parents were like, what I've been like, and it just feels like way too big of a departure from who I normally am. So now you have an emotion here to deal with, to negotiate with, because until there's been a negotiation with that emotion and a clear understanding of that, you can be intentional about creating some downtime, some lazy time, and that's no contradiction to also having productive time to really get stuff done. Until you have that emotional dialogue and deal with that emotion is going to be standing in the way. So that's on an emotional level, and so the and that that can and that builds off. So if I and again, that emotion, identifying that emotion is a lot easier once you have first off the awareness of what you need to do. So if I didn't have the awareness that I really need to be intentional about my scheduling, then I never would have really come up against the emotion that being so intentional feels a little bit scary to me. But now that I have that process down and I know how to negotiate with the emotion, so now I've developed clarity, I've developed awareness, I know how to then find the emotions that's getting in the way, negotiate with them in a way where, I'm actually it actually really is important, because if someone is overly intentional with their schedule to become like peak perform, like really productive, they can burn themselves out. But they'll call themselves a lazy procrastinator, thinking that the reason why I'm not getting stuff done is just because I'm just a lazy procrastinator. No, you're not. There's a part of you that's actually concerned that if you go too hard, you will burn yourself out. But until you're able to really negotiate with that, feel it, understand it, embrace it, then there's just this like inner conflict, this rejection of a part of who we are, and that will always hold us back. Because as long as we're splintered, A part of us is like, yeah, I want to be so productive. And then another part of us is like, oh, I'm just like lazy and I'm a procrastinator. Yeah, you're not going to get much done like that. And whatever you do will be continuing to build that internal tension eventually until the person burns out and breaks. And then they discover meditation, awareness, and start cold plunging and all that stuff. But we like to deal with it before that happens rather than after. So that's the emotional part. Now, even with those two elements there, there's
Two
another,
elements, thought and emotion, right?
the thought and the emotion. Yeah. Even with that stuff there's another thing what hap that happens to a person when they actually say, okay, I've kind of negotiated with my emotions. I know what I want. It's clear, but something just on a gut level doesn't yet feel right about this. Something is holding me back. There's something there, and I don't know what it is. That's something that's in the body, and so there we need to begin to actually explore what is physically happening in the body. What am I feeling? Where am I feeling with it? And actually working directly with the physical sensation. So here there's really zero thoughts. There is zero emotional dialogue. It's pure sensation. It's pure focus on what is happening with the body and moving with that, moving with it in our mind by following it very deeply. And also even gently moving our body in areas where we feel tense or we feel something, even if it's positive, to allow that movement to flow better. And what often happens in that is there is this shift in how the body feels, and the shift in how the body feels generates sometimes an immediate aha moment. An immediate shift in emotion, and sometimes an aha moment where the person all of a sudden gets, wow, this is really going to be a big deal for me.
You
Which
have
might,
had these aha moments personally?
yeah. So in this scenario of a person trying to be productive, so they negotiate, so they're aware of what they need to do from an intentional standpoint. They know that there's an emotion in the way that was in the way that they kind of negotiated with and realize they're going to carve out downtime. But then there's just this feeling, there's this kind of feeling that's almost really, I don't know, something's there. And then you go in the body, you feel what's going on, and then all of a sudden there's this, somewhat of an explosion of excitement and a realization and an experience of like, oh man, like it almost the new reality becomes very real. The new way of being. So it's almost like until the body has moved to really experience a new way of being, we're still very much stuck in the old. But when we shift, when we find the shift in how the body feels, it's almost that new way of being becomes a reality right now. This also bridges a bit into the idea of manifestation, that you can kind of manifest a reality that you want to have by visualizing it and really experiencing it as if it's happening now. So that really that magic starts to take place when that activity is a very body heavy experience. It's not like, I just imagine a picture of something that I want and I'm like, oh, it's just, but this feels so far away from me. It's when you actually physically experience in the moment now a very, very different way of feeling. And I think that if you haven't yet done somatic work, it's hard to understand what this means. It's almost like describe, tell me what ice cream tastes like. If I've never had it, it's kind of really, really hard. But those that have experienced what it's like to just be in the body and then all of a sudden some little shift or little change happens, and then all of a sudden I just feel so much better and relaxed and loose, and I don't know what just happened, but I just, I mean, the ability to generate those experiences and the skill of being able to do them on our own is super, super crucial, because as long as the body is locked into an old state, an old way of being and feeling and experiencing itself, it becomes very, very difficult to move forward, even with mental clarity and even with emotional, like deep emotional awareness, it still can become very, very difficult to move forward.
The clients that you work with, what are the biggest challenges or commonalities that you see that they face, either in a specific modality or just generally?
What are the challenges that they have in their life, or what are the hardest parts of doing this work for them?
The former, the hardest, we could do both, but let's start with what are the challenges they have in their life that they, that you help them with or that they seek help in.
I think that it's a really good question. I think that they're gifted with an awareness. You can call it a gift or you can call it a curse, but they're gifted with an awareness that something is not going right, and that thing that's not going right is internal and needs an internal process in order to be fixed. It's not going to be fixed simply by becoming more successful, either in the area of money or relationship. I mean, there's definitely a pain point. There's a pain point in career. There's a pain point in relationship. There's a pain point in mental health. So it could be anxiety. It could be relationships not working. It could be careers just either in burnout or just feels like there's no purpose, or, there's a sense of depression. But there's an awareness that if I fix that outside thing, it's not going to work. It's like one of my clients, he got a seven-figure paycheck, and then after that, and it was what he always thought, it's what he worked 20 years for. He thought that that would be the answer to everything, and then he was never more depressed in his life than after he got that paycheck. So there's, an awareness that something is going on inside that's not right, and I need to figure that out. And I want to be much healthier inside.
Of those that you've helped, do you have a proudest moment?
One that really stands out was a parent who with an only child, and there was so much emotional trauma in the relationship that had gone on for years, that there was zero dialogue, like almost complete disconnect between the two. I think one of their proudest moments was that just doing this work, the parent, just by working on her being able to more deeply connect with her own body, shifted things so deeply that the relationship changed on its own and they started talking. So there was actually zero work done on the relationship itself. All of it was on her. All of it was on her being able to become more in touch with her body, her nervous system, and herself. And then that shift happened. That was kind of like, that was a big wow moment of because even whenever you're working on doing something and you're coming out with a product or something like that, you're always wondering, like, is this going to work? Like, does this work? And then you have like a really difficult, and you see it and it's like, oh wow, like that was big. And then also having, another client say that they had been suffering for anxiety for years. Therapist, they see a psychiatrist, they're on meds, And for the first time in their life, they found that their anxiety transformed into productive, redeeming energy, which was a clear product of the body-based work of working directly with the sensations of the anxiety and learning how to move with them instead of trying to suppress them or freeze from them, to be able to kind of move with them was, yeah, that was also a really big moment as well.
How do you help people get unstuck in the in these feelings or in these maybe in these ch in these challenges that they face, right? Like anxiety is such, I mean, that's a probably multi-million dollar, multi-billion dollar business, right? Like there's money, there's medication, there's different ways to treat it, all of this stuff, right? And like what you're proposing in theory sounds so simple, not simple, but like, hey, you can fix this yourself, right? Like just be, you have the capability within you to fix most of these issues. And it's like retraining or untraining or unlearning some parts of this, the baggage that you've built over time, the experiences, the narrative you're telling yourself. But yeah, I'm just curious to go deeper there. Like, how does that actually work?
So the reason why it's so hard is because, first of all, it took me a very long time to realize that I had the gift to be able to do this. First, that the modalities are out there, the techniques are out there to be able to work with the stuff, and then also that I had a specific talent in being able to understand them and feel through them and intuitively get them in a very deep way. And so the challenge for me has become less managing my own state, which I feel at this point has become relatively easy. I used to wake up every day feeling really heavy and depressed, like a monkey on my back that I could not get off. My heart just weighed like it felt like it was 500 pounds. And I don't feel that way anymore. And once in a while, that comes back to me, and when it does, it's like, oh, it's my old friend. And it's like, it really doesn't faze me anymore. Like, I can just sense it, I can feel it, I can deal with the sensation, and it just goes away.
It's less about removing it. It's more about changing your relationship with it. These inner demons, these inner debil the things that are maybe debilitating to somebody today, you
Yeah,
know.
so. Yeah, let me try to get to more of what I'm trying to say. The challenge for me is helping people who don't have the same natural talent as I do be able to do this for themselves. And that is hard, and it takes a lot of time. It takes a significant amount of time and practice to do it. I mean, it's not and an open mind to be willing to try. I think that part of what makes it very hard for people to succeed in this, and specifically in applying the somatic, the body-based modalities, is I think there's a really big misconception and misunderstanding of meditation and especially mindfulness in general. The conventional use of mindfulness, in my opinion and in my experience, having been exposed to it, is more of like a band-aid, because it almost kind of like stops us from being in that fight or flight mode, or just calms us down. But as soon as we're, for most people, at least this was my experience and most people who I speak with, as soon as they're done with it and they go back to their day, like they might have done yoga and some breath work or whatever, but like it just is the same right after. It's not like there's really any difference. And what's really, really missing is the belief and the mindset and the experience of realizing that our body, our physical body and physical sensations and our emotions are way smarter and have just as much feeling and intelligence as our Western thinking prefrontal cortex. We simply disrespect our emotions and our body to such a degree that we're not willing to shut up and really listen to them and follow where they're going to take us. So if I had to summarize in my opinion what somatic work is, it's that most of the time our brain and our thinking is walking around trying to drag our body along with it and our emotions along with it. And somatic work is the opposite. It's not just about quieting the mind and not thinking. It's about the mind learning to follow the body where the body wants to take it. And there's so many versions of somatic work, but I'll give a story of one that I tried because it really illustrates what this process is. There was a guy here who invited me to an improvisational dance class. So he's a somatic dance instructor. And the way the class worked is that I was in a room with a bunch of strangers, and he was giving us instructions, and I am not a dancer at all. And he was giving us instructions to dance and move around people that we did not know. And it was the absolute most awkward and uncomfortable experience for the first 45 minutes. And it was like a 2-hour class. Because there was such a deep resistance to be willing to move my body and express myself through my body in a total around a total stranger, with them looking at me, and I don't know what they're thinking about me, and they don't know what I'm thinking about them, and we don't even know each other. And it was really, really, really awkward and uncomfortable. But by the end of it, it was one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life. Because that awkwardness dissolved, and I found myself moving and flowing around people, and we just kind of got each other. At some point, there was something that clicked, and we started moving and flowing and dancing around each other as if we had known each other for years. And it was beautiful. And we were performing together. And again, I'm not a dancer. And so what happened was is our bodies just started talking, and we started connecting. And what was really interesting is after the class, when the class was over, I said hi to someone to say, "Hey, how are you?" And they like walked away as if they didn't know me, which is really interesting, to see that. So it's like there's such, as soon as the brain turns on again, and the thinking turns on, and the social norms turns on again, and we like there's such a disconnect that happens. And it was, the experience of the awkwardness of the initial parts of the class, the absolute bliss of the last part of the class of connecting with these people, and then to see that disconnect just pop up right afterwards, where it was like, again, you're like a total stranger. It was such an eye-opening experience into how detached we are from ourselves and the different parts of who we are. So what I think what really limits us and what really makes these problems such difficult problems, the anxiety, the depression, the burnout, the work-life balance, and all these different things, is that we are so shut out from different parts of who we are. And so disconnected and compartmentalized. But when we learn to really look under the hood and experience the flow of all the different parts of who we are and the different ways in which we communicate with ourselves, it gets really, really interesting.
It's fascinating to, this idea of like our mind has been disrespecting our bodies and emotions for a long time. It's a fascinating way to think about it. It's something that I can resonate with, and we've been working together for a bit now, and I definitely say that those two aspects are aspects that have definitely been in the background, like they've been suppressed, so to speak, which feels common maybe because of what you're saying here, like society, our minds, whatever, we are so focused on leading with our thought, right? And trying to solve problems with our thought and ignoring the two other modalities you talk about here a lot, which is emotions and body sensations. What, who, you seem to have, you seem like you have a lot of inspiration you pull from your own experiences and then from even, mentors or people that you've looked up to or, experiences like this that you've had that are unique. Are there others like this that you draw from, you draw inspiration from with the work you do with your clients?
I
Be
spent
mentors. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
what?
It could be mentors too. It doesn't need to be.
Yeah, I think that I get a lot of the force and the conviction that I have behind what I do. A lot of it comes, from spiritual mentors that I have. So I study, I learn, and I practice a very in a very intentional way, a lifestyle where I connect very deeply to the deep mystical teachings of my own tradition, the Jewish tradition. And so they give me a tremendous amount of strength, inner strength, and belief and confidence in the ability to make the world a better place, to really heal, that life can be a beautiful, beautiful experience and a really good experience despite the negativity that is present as well. And so that, I mean, that's a tremendous, like I mentioned earlier, like the dream that I had in that dream, it was of one of those teachers that I feel very, very connected to was the one I saw in that dream. So that's, hands down, a huge, huge source of strength for me in what I do.
If you could share some advice on it could be a piece of advice, right, with people when it comes to either, yeah, just being better versions of themselves, what would it be?
I would say start with 60 seconds of doing absolutely nothing but just sitting and being. And it's incredible how difficult that can be for some people. And also how much of a shift you can get in just that moment of absolute quiet. And then what I would sprinkle into that is to in those moments, try as best you can to stay away from thoughts. And if you're going to go towards something, go towards what is happening in your body now, and approach your body like you're approaching the most intelligent person you've ever met, and be really, really willing to listen to what might come up there and follow it and explore it. And that can be exploring with zero movement of just sitting down or lying down or standing up and doing nothing. It can also be exploring with movement, meaning letting your body just take you where it wants to go. And that can be an interesting exercise to even expand, for a person to give themselves some time off, whether it be minutes, hours, or even a day, to have zero plan. And so just go where your body, your gut feel takes you. And experience life a little bit that in that way.
Yeah, I love that. I've done that from your advice, and it's been helpful. And I really like the approaching your body like it's the most intelligent person you've met. I think it changes how you would look inward for that time. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your program, your what does a typical hour look like when you're working with a client? Or maybe even what does a typical hour look like, and what does maybe the first month working with somebody look like? Like, how does it, you're unconventional in what you do in some ways. And so, I think there's going to be, I don't think it's as simple as somebody coming and sitting and talking about all their feelings for an hour with you and then they move on with their life, right? Or like you doing all the talking. There seems to be like techniques that you have that that you use with your clients. Can you give us a peek under the hood at kind of what that looks like?
What it looks like is it's really just guess an analogy is really a dance, because my goal is basically to again give my clients skills and thought, clarity of thought, and having like very keen mental awareness. Emotional dialogue, being able to really negotiate and experience and talk with emotions, and then also the awareness of the body. So now these techniques, the experience of learning each one of these techniques is extremely different one from the other. And there are nuances and details to each one of them. A lot of the work is really very different one session to the other, depending on which of those three we're focusing on in that given meeting, and which part of that one it is. So I usually start with the first and the third in the beginning, which is clarity and thinking. And then also starting to get more of an awareness of body sensation as separate things. And as a person gets a bit more mental awareness of their life, of themselves, of how to think about different areas of life, and where they want to go and who they are, and then also they develop a better sense of being able to be present within their body and handle the different sensations that come up, then that's when I usually go towards the second, but in order of how I teach it, the last, which is being able to negotiate and really have conversations with emotions. Because of those three things, emotions are the most colorful, flavorful, and therefore can be the most turbulent. And therefore requires the greatest level of skill and also the ability to stay present. So that's typically the flow of the work. But then, with each person, especially with one-on-one work, there is typically twists and turns that we take based on what's happening, what's going on with life as part of the fun part of one-on-one work. But in, as the method and the general focus is to start with getting clarity and thought, and then more in touch with the body. And then as those things kind of merge and we begin to see how what we think and what's going on in our body are able to communicate with each other, and then we start negotiating with the feelings, and that's when everything starts to really tie together. And it starts to become much greater flow between the thoughts, the feelings, and the sensations.
Okay. If people want to learn more, or right, like how would they do so with you? Get a taste
So
of the work you offer of how
say
you
that
can
one more
help
time. What was the
or get a
question?
taste or get a taste of how they get, of your work, right?
Yeah, so what I love to give people a taste of stuff before, just come and taste it. So you could book a demo call with me, and I will actually take a while. I think in the past it was 15 minutes, but now I've extended it to a full hour actually for now. I don't know how long I'll be doing that for, but for right now, I'm giving a full hour demo of these techniques of what they feel like, to give whoever wants to as much of a taste as they can handle and digest as possible to get a really good feel for what the experience is like and the power that it has.
And coming out of that hour, or out of that demo, what have you found people? What was, you know, what have you found them the difference in from when they came in and when they left from the ones you've done so far?
I mean, always, typically always much more relaxed, almost always, and very often wowed, like kind of surprised that. And that's the beauty of the somatic and the emotional work is when we begin to understand what our body is capable of and the experiences that we're capable of having inside. Like, I honestly believe that if people really were good, really good at somatic work and that emotional work, they would never even feel a need to do drugs. I mean, I've never done psychedelics, but I've had clients who've done psychedelics and said that the experience of doing this work to them was a mellower version, but very, very similar to what they felt coming out of a psychedelic experience.
Wow.
There's a lot in there that's really, really wonderful to experience.
Wow. That feels like a great place to end. You want the psychedelic experience without taking a drug. Sorry.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, thanks for sharing. This has been great. And for those that are listening, book a demo. You know, you got nothing to lose there and everything to gain. Ari's been a client. I've been a client of his for almost a year now, and it's been in many ways life-changing for me. So